Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming your way momentarily, the Nick Sirianni midweek press conference. This should be interesting. It's been quite a week every time Nick speaks, so we'll see what he has in store for you today. We'll bring that to you in its entirety coming up in just a little bit here. This hour, sponsored by Popeyes, it's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly, and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors for Popeyes. Elliot later in the show. We also have to get to the Trey Turner thing, because that was a wild back and forth yesterday with Dombrowski and Tim Kelly, who we know here. He used to be with us at Odyssey. And I thought Dombrowski just missed the mark totally on that conversation about Trey Turner. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Julia in Reading. Hey, Julia.
Hi, how are you guys? Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, we appreciate that, Julia. We're good. What are you thinking about today?
Well, I appreciate Topper for the season, and I appreciated very little of Dombrowski yesterday. I think there's a difference between, as you said, the marathon, the calm, cool, the professionals, let them work it out. We don't need team meetings mentality of Topper through the year, and you can see from the last couple of years, each year the team got better in season. But we got worse in post, and I think that's because we need a different energy for post. You don't have a long runway, and we run out of time. We run out of at-bats. We run out of energy. That last home game was spectacular, and I knew as soon as we hit that, we were done for the season because that's what we do. We do one great, and then we're done. And so, I wasn't really thrilled with that. presser, and there was a presser before the post where Dombrowski said, if not this year, there's always next, before we even got into the post. And I thought, that's telling. He did not have that energy he had 2-3 years ago where he was running around the stadium, where he was everywhere. Wasn't the same energy. And I think that calmness, which is great through the season, killed us.
Yeah, there's a sense of urgency that you have to have it in the postseason. And it seems like, Julia, they think maybe they'll have it next year. Like, they'll just magically have it. And I think they need to mix this thing up a little bit, bring in some players who are maybe more built for the postseason and their games translate better to October. Because if we're just going to run it back next year and expect Trey Turner to not swing at bad pitches in October, I think we're going to have a similar ending, unfortunately.
And I think the other part of that is we rely on our team to be the leaders instead of the coaches, which is fine in the season. But in the post, those leaders, when they frustrate the whole team. You got, Harper getting mad at a bat, that goes through the clubhouse. And if you don't have a coach or, a manager pulling that negative out right away, that's like a cancer. It goes right through. And so then, all the bats are going to go silent, because if, Harp can't do it, then why can I? That kind of a mentality, even if they're not thinking it, it's just group dynamic. That's why one good play can ignite the team for the rest of the game. One bad play can do the same.
Well, and they're proof of that. I mean, and then the Mets on the other side are proof of it, too, because they just one little thing got them going, and they came back in those games. And, Julie, I think you're spot on. We appreciate the call. Appreciate you being a listener to the show. It's almost like they can't see what's in front of them. Because I just go back to this. 2 years ago when they made their run, what's the difference, right? Because they had a lot of the same players, but I feel like some of the players they moved on from, they're missing what those guys brought. I'll give you two. Gene Segura. Mm-hmm. I just went back and looked. In 2022... his contact percentage, which just means when he swung, how often did he hit the ball into play? It was over 80%. He put the ball in play. He didn't strike out much. I mean, sometimes he swung at pitches that were not quite strikes, but he had a real great knack for putting the bat on the ball and making contact. I could think of a hit he had over the second base beside. I think it was against San Diego, game three here.
Mm-hmm.
Segura, or it was either game three or game four. He did that all the time.
That was the contact hit. Contact hit.
He made contact.
And
Trey Turner's supposed to be that, but he doesn't make quite as much contact. And I'll go to another one. Rhys Hoskins, right? That's one we've talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He took pitches. He grinded at bats. I'm not saying they're missing those particular players. Segura is done now, and Hoskins is probably on the decline, but they're missing those kind of players.
You know what this feels eerily similar to me? It feels like in football when, you know, we have a team that everything is about throwing the ball down the field, vertical passing game. But in the playoffs, it's a straight running game. And whoever can control the clock and grind the clock out is the one that tends to win the game. You know, we talked like the other night, you looked at the Dodgers and the Mets playing. They
yep.
they got put nine on them. Then the Mets come back the other night and they put a bunch of runs on the board.
Yep.
It's about being able to move runners when they're in scoring position and play that small ball that we're talking about. And a lot of times during the NLDS, and we were looking at it, it was one of those things where we put guys on base and we stranded them, you know, or we didn't put guys on base. So it was one of those things where we had to do a better job of that.
I also would have loved to hear yesterday DeBrusque say something to the effect of, hey, we know there are areas we need to be better at to win in the postseason, and we expect our guys to get better at those areas, and if they don't, we'll have to change the thing up. Like, it just was a sense of, well, we think they could get better. Okay, well, why didn't they get better at it from 2022 to 2023? It's like, that doesn't, and 2023 to 2024, it just, the whole thing yesterday was frustrating to listen to those guys, especially, and most especially, Dave DeBrusque, because he's the one that is the leader of the whole thing. He's been around for 40 years in Major League Baseball. He's seen a lot of champions. He's led a couple of them with the Marlins, with the Red Sox, and it just felt like, what are you going to do? It's baseball. I mean, like that, and that doesn't fly. Dustin in the Northeast. Hey, Dustin.
Ah, Joey G, how are you, fellas?
What's up, Dustin?
Living the dream. Listen, real quick, before I get on my sports point, I try to get in on Friday Fridays. Did you guys check out the new TV series, The Penguin, yet?
No, but
I tried to watch it.
You don't like it?
I haven't seen the third episode. I didn't like the first two. But people keep telling me I need to go back because it got better.
I liked the character in the Batman movie a couple years ago, so I want to try this out. Is it good?
Oh, dude, it's a great show. I can't get enough of it. I think it's pretty good.
You like it? You like it, Kyle? I couldn't get past the first two, but I get the premise.
The first one was really good.
You like the first one?
Yeah.
I thought the first one was awesome, too. Yeah. I thought it was great. I think it's a really – it wasn't what I was expecting at all, right, Kyle? I mean, it's like – I wasn't expecting him to be like involved with like mobsters and stuff.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting that either.
We actually have Sirianni sitting down. Sorry, Dustin.
All right, let's get to Sirianni here. We appreciate it, Dustin.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go ahead.
I think we've talked about other players going back to teams they've played for in the past and controlling that emotion. But for Saquon going back to where, you know, he still has friends and stuff, what does this game mean to him, do you think?
Yeah, I'd like to let him answer that question. I know he's going to have to probably answer that question all week. I'm excited for him. You know, every opportunity he gets to put on this jersey, you know, I get excited for him. I know you know, obviously, there's always emotion in this game. It's an emotional game, and so I think the most important thing for him is just to be able to, you know, all Saquon has to do is go out and be himself. And because he's a hell of a football player, he's a hell of a leader. He's, you know, and so many good qualities that he has. And you want to be able to control the emotions as the game goes, not to be too up, not be too down, but play the next play.
How much did the ideas of what you can do with a running back expand? Saquon?
Yeah, anytime you have a big-time running back like that, you always think about how you're going to get the guy the football. And so it's never like, hey, this place we ran this, and this is what our system is. You do everything you can do to get players the ball and do things that they do well. I mean, that's the focus of any coach is what do our players do well, and – What can we do with them? And so obviously we've looked at backs that we've used in the past and how we've used them in the past, from our different teams and even different teams here. But then you also study some other teams. What does team A or team B do to get their running back to the ball? So, and again, it's all about fitting the skill set of your players. Fortunately for Saquon, I don't think there's anything he doesn't do well. Right? He's big. He's strong. He's fast. And he's ultra quick. And that's what you look for in any running back.
Now, because you have a bigger sample size, with different defensive schemes, are you noticing defenses maybe trying to do some different things to try and take Saquon away?
Yeah. Anytime you have unique players, a good attack on offense, you're going to get different things than you see on tape. And we expect that, and we've had a good running game here for a while, so you see different things, and that's been evident of our teams throughout my whole time here, and so when that happens, you have to be ready to adjust. Hey, the plan said to do this. Well, sometimes the plan changes, right? And so you have to be ready to adjust with the answers that you have, while still doing what your players can execute well.
Nick, when you offer up that you've called plays that have failed for in certain circumstances, and we spoke to both Kellen and Vic about this, they said that your interaction with them isn't any different than really they've had with other head coaches. What is your objective in putting that information out there?
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes I feel like probably I don't know who said it. John maybe asked me the other day, like, are you giving them too much information? Probably. So I probably won't give that information to you guys anymore.
You're gonna get me in trouble.
But, I'll probably give you too much information that, probably rethink that. I think at the end of the day, I think somebody asked me this, but at the end of the day, I want to be accountable for the things that make no mistake about it. Everything that is on that field and every product that is on that field has my accountability on it. So if there's a mistake on that field, then that belongs to me. As minute as you could think of that mistake being, and I really believe that, and I really think that way, in the sense of like, okay, this guy missed a tackle in space. Well, did I put him in positions to make that tackle? Did I help him? Did I help him with that? And so that's constantly on my mind of how we do that. And so, again, if I want these players to have accountability for the things that they didn't do right, in the attempts to get better, then I better do it myself.
Nick, Vic was talking yesterday about how young you guys are on defense, and you think about it, Slay and BG are really the only guys in the regular rotation who are over like 27, 28. What are the positives, I guess, and the negatives of having that young a group on one side of the
Sure. Ball? Obviously, when you play together, you gel together, you get more time together. The more plays you play in this league, the more you see, the more football IQ you're going to gain. When you watch the Bulls documentary, and Michael Jordan talked about in the game against the Celtics when he scored 63 points, he's like, I just let my youth and my energy go, and I didn't stop. And he said something like that. And I kind of felt like that, like especially seeing Coop on the field, like I just saw his youth in his energy. Now, did we make some mistakes? Sure, we made some mistakes, but I saw him flying to the football. I saw him being physical and violent when he got to the football. And that's for a lot of guys, but I'm thinking about Coop just in my mind right now. And so when that happens, it is exciting. That can be really exciting because you got youth and energy of just flying around to the football. But it's our job as coaches and their job as players to learn the plan, try to put themselves in situations. We try to put them in situations so that we're accelerating that that play as much as we possibly can as far as the football IQ goes. And that's where walkthrough comes in and practice comes in.
Did you take pride in the bye? The turnovers were certainly a problem you guys were dealing with. Didn't turn it over against the Browns and didn't, I don't think, had a turnover worthy play. I'm curious, was there something you did during the bye that you implemented that game that you think worked especially well? Or?
You know, yeah, I mean, I think so. Just I don't know if I need to – I always want to help you guys do your job. I think you guys know that. I just want to keep some of that in-house. But, yeah, we thought a lot about it. And now and I think we did some things that were different. Not necessarily with how you protect it, but, you know, some of the things that the way you kind of go about protecting it and drill it and this and that. So, we spent a lot of time on that. And, you know, the big emphasis that we want to continue moving on is, you know, we want to take the football away. And, you know, this was a turnover that Reed had. And just want to celebrate that when we do that. Because we know that when we win that turnover battle, we have a good chance of winning. And that's the entire league, not just the Philadelphia Eagles. But we've been pretty good at it when we have. And so the emphasis that we're – I mean, you guys see it. You guys see out there on when we do drills and stuff like that what our emphasis are. And, you know, the ball, taking care of the ball was a big thing. And I think the stat of – you guys can look this up, but I think the stat of us when we don't turn it over all, forget about winning the turnover battle, but when we don't turn it over at all, we're at like 16-5. And so it's always going to start with us of how we protect the football offensively and how we take it away defensively.
Nick, Saquon had a rough stretch at the end of the first half. He went out of bounds and before the mark, and then the block. When he – does that when he has a rough stretch? What's he like on the sideline? It probably was not his best game, maybe his worst game of the year. What's he like after that?
Again, like I can't say enough good things about him and all the plays that he makes for this football team and the things that, like, even though there might be a mistake that, you know, we can point out, but like all the things he does when the ball's not even in his hands and the attention that the defense has. And so I want to say that first and foremost, like, everyone's going to make mistakes during the game. It's not a perfect game. There's going to when you're battling and striving for something great, there's going to be errors along the way. There's going to be mistakes along the way. And so those happen. When he has a mistake, I just see a guy who just pushes it out and goes to the next play. I really do. And he's great when other guys have a mistake of just being there to lift him up. He's a great teammate. You know, he leads not only by his play and the person he is, but by example, right? You know, and so that's what you want on any of your leaders. I know he doesn't have a C on his chest for captain, but I have no doubt that he's one of the main leaders on this football team.
And on your own, how he and Jalen kind of make each other better. What have you noticed about that so far?
I'm sorry, say that one more time, Mark.
How he and Jalen make each
other Saquon?
Better.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, you got two guys in the backfield that that can really create explosive plays. So, and I'm really impressed by how much they work as far as one thing that's not simple, but I think it gets looked at as simple, is the ball handling in the backfield, especially when you're running zone reads or RPOs or things like that, because there takes how does Saquon know he's not getting the ball? He doesn't. He's got to, like, and so they work so hard together at that. And so I really admire that, of how much that Jamal, our running back coach, and Doug, our quarterback coach, do to put them in positions, but then all the extra work that Jalen and Saquon do together, because they know that they can't be great without the greatness of others. That's why this is such a cool team sport. You can't be great without the greatness of others. And then, you know, I think it's when you do run those plays, it's like, all right, pick your poison of which one you want. And so I think that's it really is on display on some of those plays of, you know, what do you want to stop? Okay, cool. Now you got to go to the other guy. So, again, I just go back to that line. You can't be great without the greatness of others.
Divisional matchups.
We'll see. You know, obviously still have time here. You know, I don't expect them to, you know, don't expect them to do much at practice today. We'll see how that goes. I don't ever want to put a cap on a guy that I know is going to work his butt off to get back. And, you know, so we'll see. I mean, he's tough. Dallas is ultra tough. And if anybody can get back to playing faster than what you might anticipate, it's Dallas Goedert.
The players on the depth chart are basically the same as it's been in the past when Dallas has been hurt. But obviously Grant has a bigger role now. How do you think your different at that spot than when he missed Dallas in the past?
Man, I just think the development of Grant, you know, and Jack Stoll's done a nice job, and I like CJ and EJ, you know, and now Albert O, and you know, the guys that are on the practice squad, and so I just think one, but you know, to single Grant out, man, Grant's just been on the rise since training, you know, since off season and OTAs and during training camp, and then you know, doing stuff when he doesn't get opportunities with the ball, like. I love the play of Grant when he slice blocked the guy at New Orleans, and he sacrificed his body in Saquon's lane, and it scores a touchdown, and Grant's laying on the ground like this. It's such a cool. Again, you can't be great without the greatness of others in this unbelievable game, and so he's done it without the ball, and then he had a chance to do it with the ball, and so I think just Grant has developed into he's really worked. Jason Michael's done an awesome job of developing him, and all the credit goes to Grant though for how much work he's put in, how much talent he has, and I think you know there's a chemistry there with Jalen and Grant as well, you know, with Jalen playing with him in college, and so all those things factor in. But at the end of the day, Grant has done has been everything we expected as a draft pick when we took him a couple years ago and then some, and he just keeps getting better. And I'm really excited about as bummed as I could be if Dallas is out, I'll be really excited about his opportunity like he got last week. I'm excited for him.
Nick, I got time for two more.
On the run game, you were talking about.
But I already got him.
Nick, I know you try to insulate yourself from criticism as much as possible, but when it is as loud as it has been, this week, how do you deal with it on a personal level, and has that changed throughout your time on the job?
No, just try to, you know, again, control what you can control, and that's, and all my focus and energy is on this football team and how we get better today. That's all my energy can be focused on is how we go out there today. You know, we're still in meetings. You know, we're having a little break right now, but then we'll go back to meetings, and it's going to have to be high detail in meetings. And that starts with me as the coach of do I put them in every position that they possibly can be in? And then, you know, full speed to the snap and walk through. When your mind is focused on that, like when your mind's focused on other things, then you're not going to get – I think John Wooden has a quote, and I had it last week, but when your mind's focused on other things that you can't control, the things you can control don't get as good as they possibly can. He didn't say it like that. I brutalized that right there. But – if I'm focusing on things that I can't control, then I can't do my job is to get, if I want these guys to get better every single day, I better work on getting better every single day. And sometimes that getting better is, you know, it's always about admitting your mistakes, whether it's after a game, whether it's during the game, whether it's something you did at practice. And so that's my only focus and my only goal.
There's no handbook to being an NFL coach. I wonder in your years here, how do you feel like you've evolved as far as how to handle the non-football parts of the job, interfacing with fans and media? And are you still kind of trying to strike a balance of like how much to show and be your authentic self, and how to rein that in?
Sure, I think you always have to be your authentic self, but you know what? Maybe your authentic self's only for your players and for in the building, right? And there's a time and place for that. I'm not going to stop thanking the fans at any away game. I'm not going to stop thanking the fans after a win on the away games that I can do some of that and be your authentic self while still, you know, keep, you know, again, but you're always a work in progress. Like I think I've made a lot of strides as far as my composure during the game. That not being said, this at a certain time after this week, I think this is probably the wrong time to say that, but you know what? You're never going to be perfect. You always got to stay true to yourself, and you're always trying to improve yourself. And so, but it's not, like I said, this is how climbing and getting better of the things that you want to get better at as a man, as a person, it goes like this, right? It goes like this. We'd all love it for it to do this, but that's not the reality of life. That's not the reality of getting better. That's not the reality of growth mindset. You have setbacks, you have falls as you go. I think it's just learning from those things and try to still be on this path, even though you know there's going to be some dips in that path.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There was the Nick Sirianni press conference. We got some John Wooden quotes in there.
There.
Climbing, whatever that was at the end. Well, there was short talking in the beginning. Then we got to some long talking towards the end.
He did a good job, though, man. Listen, as a guy who understands and relates to Coach Sirianni, I got to give a shout out to the PR squad, my man Bob, because they did a great job of keeping him clear and concise. I told you when the press conference started, I said he's talking slow on purpose, because I sometimes when I want to get my point across and not flub stuff,
they'll
got to slow it down a little bit and realize you're not talking as fast as you think you are. And just try not to let your mind go on the roller coaster ride and get ahead of everything.
Yeah.
He did a good job of that, man. And nobody's perfect. The fact that, you know, he kind of started long talking at the end. He brought it back in. But I think he's in a good space now, man. I do. And I know that a lot of people are like probably listening to that. I don't care. I don't care. They're probably already out on Coach Sirianni.
Of course they are.
But I think it's Wednesday. This is the first day of practice. Let that man cook. Now.
Let him cook. This is year four of this guy.
Joe, don't kill my vibe. We got 12 games, dog. Don't kill my vibe. Don't kill it.
I'm letting you cook. I'm just
saying. We got 12 games.
I'm just trying
we
to look.
Got, and it
up.
Starts with this one
I'm just,
Sunday.
I'm looking out for you, Hugh. I don't want you to. this one might hurt.
Ike said he going. He going to ride with me, though. Ike said he ride with me to Louisiana. He said he ride.
Yeah, you both taking a week of vacation? Because I don't know if we're all going to be there with
we
you.
We're going to all be there together.
Yeah, all right. 215-592-9494. More of your calls on the Phillies. Did yesterday's press conference bother you? Your reaction to Sirianni's press conference there and the McClain report that higher-ups with Eagles were embarrassed at what happened on Sunday. Elliot will join us at 1, and we'll do a What If Wednesday based on a back-and-forth we heard about Trey Turner yesterday. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. All right, guys, guess what? Myself and a lot of you out there, as you get older, your hair thins. So what do? You could put some stuff on it. You could go to the store and grab some cream, or you could visit an expert. That's what I did. I visited my friend Dr. Rafi at Precision Hair Restoration. He opened my eyes to all that's available, including the cutting-edge Artis IX robotic hair transplant, a procedure so many should consider. Are you newly single, have an upcoming wedding or job interview, or just want your hair back? Dr. Rafi, he can help. Call Dr. Rafi at 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100, and get your confidence back. Or visit PhillyHairMD.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.